ओम ज्ञान चमरांदस्य ज्ञानंजनशलाखय चक्षुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदमायं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सवधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये काञ्चाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Very good. So Bhagavad Gita is the song of God. There are so many songs that have been sung throughout history. This is the song of God. In some situations, depending on the audience, I explain this is God's rap. God is a rapper. And you'll see the shlokas fit very well into the rap idiom. So the chapter is entitled Knowledge of the Absolute. So first we should understand what is absolute. Absolute is defined in the Vedas in the following shloka. Vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabyate. That's the way I like it, up front, close and personal. Thank you. So the absolute truth is defined by those who have realized it, not theoretical, but those who have actually realized it, as being a non-dual absolute substance which is understood in three features or three phases. Brahman, the all-pervasive spiritual energy from which everything exists. Number two, Paramatma, God in the heart, who is localized, and since he's in everyone's heart, he's also all-pervasive at the same time. Then number three, the ultimate phase of the absolute truth, Bhagavan, the person who possesses unlimited opulences, and he has expansions. Very good. The ultimate feature, so there are many Bhagavans, but the ultimate feature of Bhagavan is called Krishna. He's also known by other names, Govinda. Very good. Do that again. Very good. So this Bhagavan has personal expansions, which are known as Vishnu Tattva, or God. Can you move a little bit so I can see you? No, you're fine. I want to be able to see you. Yes, I like to see everybody's face. Haribo, welcome. He has personal expansions known as Svaṃsha, which are personalities of Godhead. And he also has separated expansions, which are us, the living entities, jiva. We are minute samples of God. We have all the, just like here is a glass of water, a cup of water, and if I take one drop, that drop of water has all the qualities of the big glass. The difference is the quantity. So, Svaṃsha, the personalities of Godhead, they are full, complete. We are minute, fragmental portions. We are like sun rays of the sun. We have all the qualities of God, the sun, but we are just little rays. So that's the absolute. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So now that we know what is the absolute, now we can proceed to text number 4. All in favor say Hari Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That is a mantra known as the 12-syllable mantra that invokes the blessings of God and the particular name Vasudev. Everyone say? Vasudev means that God is such that although he is all-pervasive, he's aware of his individual, unique existence, even though he's all-pervasive. All right, let's look at text number 4. Those of you who have a book, and if possible, the book should not be on the floor. It should be in your hands. Okay? Out of respect. All right, please repeat. Bhumir apa nalo vayu. Kang mano buddhir evacha. Ahankara iti yang me. Vinna prakritir ashtadha. Now we do the word for words. Please repeat. Bhumi, earth. Apa, water. Anala, fire. Vayu, air. Kam, ether. Manah, mind. Buddhi, intelligence. Eva, certainly. Cha, and. Ahankara, false ego. So all the other words, there was no need to explain. But false ego, I feel I need to explain. So as soon as we see a phrase, false ego, there has to be true ego. Otherwise, there would be no need for the word false as an adjective of ego. As soon as you say false ego, automatically implied there must be true ego. So, true ego is that you and I are spirit soul, eternally part and parcel of God. As was explained at the beginning of chapter 2, when Krishna said, Never was there a time when I, God, did not exist, nor you, Arjuna, nor all these kings on the battlefield, because this Bhagavad Gita is spoken on a battlefield. By that statement, Krishna is informing us that we always existed. You were never born. You always existed. Krishna says, that's true for me. Never was there a time when I did not exist. So two negatives means a positive. By definition, even I remember in Baltimore Catechism in Catholic school, the first thing I learned was God always existed. They didn't tell me about the soul. No. But when you come to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, oh, you also always existed. Welcome to the club. And since you've always existed, and Krishna says, neither in the future shall any of us cease to be. So we're eternally individuals. Eternally so. So ego means identity. That's what the word ego means. Identity. So there's a true identity and a false identity. My true identity is stated by Krishna. You are my part and parcel. This we'll learn in chapter 15. Mama eva angsha jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. That word sanatana also means eternal, back and forward. That word sanatan. No beginning, no middle, no end. That is the meaning of sanatan. That's why this religion philosophy has no beginning date. Some religions, they have a beginning date. Not this one. This philosophy is sanatan. It has always been in existence. Even before the creation, it was there. So sometimes people say, are you Hindu? No, I'm not Hindu. I'm Sanatan Dharma. I follow that philosophy which has always been in existence and always will be in existence. Sanatan. So Krishna in chapter 15 will say, Mama eva angsha, you are certainly my angsha, my part and parcel. Sometimes we say the word child of God. Yes, you could give that as an explanation of angsha, child of God. We're all children of God. Otherwise, there's no meaning to the phrase God the Father. Some religions have that concept, God as the Father. We have that in Bhagavad Gita. In chapter 14, Krishna says, Aham Bija Pradapita. I, Krishna says, I am the seed-giving father, not just the Indians, not just the Americans, not just the human beings. All living beings, the animals, oh, that's why we don't kill them. They're also children of God. Can't be killing one child of God and letting another child of God live. All children of God have a right to live. That's why we really can't even kill an ant. Not allowed. All living beings are children of God. If it's alive, it's a child of God. It may be in a lower body. It may be a cockroach. But, can't squash it. Otherwise, in the next life, that cockroach will squash you. Tit for tat. The law of karma. Be careful what you squash. So, false ego means I am child of God. I mean, that's real ego. Get carried away here. So, true ego is I'm child of God. I'm the eternal servant of God. False ego means I'm something else. I'm man. I'm woman. I am Kobe. I am Barack. I am mother. I am father. I am teacher. I am guitar player. This is false ego. No, you're not. These are roles that we play, role playing. These are not what we are. Yeah, this time you're such and such. But next time, Kobe, you're not going to be Kobe. You'll be Dobie. If you don't watch your karma, you have to be very careful. Yes, you're allowed to play a certain role for one lifetime, but depending on your karma, you get a different one. For instance, we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam how if a man is too attached to a woman, in his next life, he becomes a woman. And if a woman is too attached to a man, next life, she gets to be a man. Reversal. Best thing, be attached to God. Not that you become God. Doesn't work that way. But you'll be able to exist in God's kingdom. How many people would like to live in God's kingdom? How many want to come back and live in Los Angeles? Very good. You'll be amazed. I asked this question in different places, and you would be stunned. People say, oh, I don't mind if I have to come back and live in Orange County, because they're living a very opulent life in their mansion. But then I tell them, there's no guarantee that in your next life you'll take birth in Orange County. It may be Baghdad. Or Beirut. Or how about Sudan? You want to take your next birth in Sudan? Better to be attached to Krishna and live in the kingdom of God. All in favor, say Hari Bol. So false ego means to think that my identity is something other than Krishna's eternal servant. All right, let's continue. Next word. Iti. Thus. Iyam. All these. Me. My. Binna. Separated. Prakriti. Energies. Ashtadha. Eightfold. All right, please repeat. Earth, water, fire, air. Ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. All together, these eight constitute my separated material energies. So before we go to Prabhupada's purport, let's digest this. So, separated. For instance, I have here on my desk a digital recorder. This microphone is hooked up to the sound system and also directly to this digital recorder. So tomorrow I will play back this recorder and it will exactly duplicate what I'm saying now. So here I am speaking now, but this becomes my separated energy because I play it tomorrow. And it's as if I'm saying it again, right? So this idea of separated energy, Krishna has emanated these energies. He walks away, goes about his business, and everything is going on. Separated energies. Notice mind, intelligence, and false ego. Okay, earth, water, fire, air, ether. These are the gross elements. Okay? Ether also means sky. But mind, intelligence, and false ego, that is subtle. But it's still material. Because you will meet people and you ask them what is spiritual. They think the mind is spiritual. But here Krishna is saying, no, the mind is still material, subtle material. Now, it's not mentioned here, but in other texts, namely the Srimad Bhagavatam, which picks up from where Bhagavad Gita leaves off, the mind, intelligence, and ego is here, not here. The mind, intelligence, and false ego, which is the subtle material body, covers the soul. The soul is situated in the heart. And we will learn from Bhagavad Gita, God is all, didn't I mention Paramatma, right? So you, the real you, not the one you see in the mirror, but the real you, you're there. And your next door neighbor, God. He's right there with you. Okay? Now, the difference between us and God, the soul is covered by underwear. Just like you're all wearing underwear. These are your gross external clothes, but you have underwear. So the soul is covered by an underwear of mind, intelligence, and false ego. The goal is to become naked. Don't misunderstand. That naked soul is called liberation. When there's no more covering, moksha, liberation, salvation, is when the soul sheds the gross and subtle material coverings and exists in its pure naked state. And in that situation, you can exist with God. Are we good? Do you like that? Shall we proceed? Haribo. So these are material energies. Let's go now to the purport, because the next verse and this verse go together like a hand and a glove. When we go to the next verse, this verse will be seen in proper context. Let's look at Prabhupada's purport. This, of course, is Srila Prabhupada, the founder acharya of this movement, who has translated these books, who brought this Krishna consciousness movement from India to the United States of America. And this society known as ISKCON has been incorporated since 1966. I became a serious disciple of Srila Prabhupada and was officially accepted by him as his disciple in April 1974. I will try my best to present this Bhaktivedanta philosophy to my ability. Let's look at the purport. The science of God analyzes the constitutional position of God and his diverse energies. So notice Prabhupada is using this term, science of God. We discussed that last week. Science of God. Material nature is called prakriti, or the energy of the Lord, in his different purusha incarnations or expansions. As described in the Narad Pancharatra, one of the Satvata Tantra. So these are supplemental Vedic literatures. I will, if you will allow me to chant the Sanskrit, Vishnastu Trini Rupani Purushakyan Yato Vidu Ekantu Mahata Srastri Tvatiyang Tvadanda Sangstitam Tritiyang Sarvabhutastang Tani Gyatva Vimuchyate. For material creation, Lord Krishna's plenary expansion. The word plenary means full. Keep that in mind. Krishna's plenary expansion assumes three Vishnus. The first one, Mahavishnu. Everyone say? Mahavishnu. Creates the total material energy known as the Mahatattva. The second, Garbhodakashayi Vishnu. Let's see if you can do that one. That's, I know, it's a hard one. Enters into all the universes to create diversities in each of them. And the third, Kshiro Dakashayi Vishnu. Try that one. Yes. Is diffused as the all-pervading supersoul in all the universes and is known as Paramatma. So if you want to get technical, you could say to somebody, in my heart is Kshiro Dakashayi Vishnu. And they'll be very, ooh, he sounds so scholarly. Yes. He is present even within the atoms. And so that's why I said not only is he localized, but he's all pervasive. Because that Kshiro Dakshayi Vishnu is within every atom. Anyone who knows these three Vishnus can be liberated from material entanglement. So that's the quotation Prabhupada used. Let's continue. This material world is a temporary manifestation of one of the energies of the Lord. All the activities of the material world are directed by these three Vishnu expansions of Lord Krishna. So, that's why I said it earlier. The original or the ultimate feature of God is Krishna. And these Vishnu expansions are his expansions. Okay. These Purushas are called incarnations. Generally, one who does not know the science of God or Krishna assumes that this material world is for the enjoyment of the living entities. Yes. You will hear that in different philosophies and different religions. They'll preach like that. That this world is for our enjoyment. It is our manifest destiny. Like the early settlers came from Europe and they came to America and they said, oh, this is our manifest destiny. Now we can exploit. That's how they thought. So, let's continue now. Generally, one who does not know the science of God assumes that this material world is for the enjoyment of the living entities and that the living entities are the Purushas, or the causes, controllers, and enjoyers of the material energy. So he just gave you three things to understand this word Purusha. The Purusha is the cause, the controller, and enjoyer. According to Bhagavad Gita, this atheistic conclusion is false. In the verse under discussion, it is stated that Krishna is the original cause of the material manifestation. So, when I was speaking earlier about true ego, what did I say is the definition of true ego? Who remembers? Yes? Yes. And what's the soul's function? That was good. I'll give you a ding. What did I say was the soul's function? Function. What is the soul supposed to do? Yes. Thank you. What's your good name? Very good. Say that again, nice and loud. Servant of God. Did I not mention that or did I skip over that? Right. I did not say the enjoyer, did I? No. The enjoyer is God. We are the servant. Now, I know a lot of people don't. What servant? Oh, man, I'm out of here. Well, Prabhupada's going to explain this concept. Give me a second here. Everybody chant japa for a second. So he just said that this atheistic conclusion is false. Thinking, if we think the living entities are the Purushas, namely the cause, the controller, and the enjoyer. According to Bhagavad Gita, this atheistic conclusion is false. In the verse under discussion, it is stated that Krishna is the original cause of the material manifestation. Yes, Krishna said, my separated material energies, right? When we read the translation, didn't say America's. It didn't say Obama's, did it? No, it said Krishna's separated energies. So nothing belongs to us, does it? What was mentioned? Earth. So earth doesn't belong to us, does it? Nor the water, which is going to be the cause of the next world war. Water, because it's running out. And so forth. These eight separated energies, Krishna said, they're my energies. Let's continue. Srimad Bhagavatam also confirms this. The ingredients of the material manifestation are separated energies of the Lord. Even the Brahma Jyotir, which is the ultimate goal of the impersonalists, is a spiritual energy manifested in the spiritual sky. And later on, in chapter 14, the final verse, Brahmano hi pratishta aham, Krishna will say, this Brahma Jyoti rests on me. I like to always say that some people are spiritually dyslexic, because some people say, no, Krishna comes from the Brahman. But I point out to them gently, no. Krishna says just the opposite. Don't be spiritually dyslexic. The Brahman comes from Krishna, not vice versa. Let's continue. Brahman, the all-pervasive spiritual energy that exists everywhere. Okay? Yes, sir? No, that's different. That's Lord Brahma. That's a different thing altogether. Okay? Let us get back now. There are no spiritual diversities in the Brahma Jyotir as they are in the Vaikuntha Lokas. Vaikuntha Lokas are the spiritual planets of God. I said at the beginning, God has many personal expansions. So all these expansions have their own spiritual planet. And if you develop love and affection for a particular personality of Godhead, you go to that planet. Like right now, many, many people in India and in Hindu homes, they're getting ready to do lots of devotion for Lord Ram. Dashera is coming, right? So Lord Ram is a very, very popular personality of Godhead. And those who are purely devoted to Lord Ram, they can go to his spiritual planet and live there as his eternal servant. All right. There are no spiritual diversities in the Brahma Jyoti as they are in the Vaikuntha Lokas. And the impersonalist accepts this Brahma Jyoti as the ultimate eternal goal. The Paramatma manifestation is also a temporary, all-pervasive aspect of Shirodakashayi Vishnu. The Paramatma manifestation is not eternal in the spiritual world. Therefore, the factual absolute truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He is the complete energetic person, and he possesses different separated and internal energies. That's coming in the next verse. So there's the separated material energy, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, of false ego. And there's also internal or spiritual energies. In the material energy, the principal manifestations are eight, as above mentioned. Out of these, the first five manifestations, namely earth, water, fire, air, and sky, are called the five gigantic creations of the gross creations, within which the five sense objects are included. They are the manifestations of sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. Material science comprises these 10 items and nothing more. But the other three items, namely mind, intelligence, and false ego, are neglected by the materialists. Philosophers who deal with mental activities are also not perfect in knowledge because they do not know the ultimate source, Krishna. The false ego, I am and it is mine, which constitute the basic principle of material existence, includes 10 sense organs for material activities. So those 10 sense organs, right? The eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin, throat, hands, legs, genital, rectum. Those are the 10 sense organs. Intelligence refers to the total material creation called the Mahatattva. Therefore, from the 8 separated energies of the Lord are manifest the 24 elements of the material world, which are the subject matter of Sankhya atheistic philosophy. They are originally offshoots from Krishna's energies and are separated from him. But atheistic Sankhya philosophers, with a poor fund of knowledge, do not know Krishna as the cause of all causes. The subject matter for discussion in the Sankhya philosophy is only the manifestation of the external energy of Krishna as it is described in the Bhagavad Gita. So before we go any further, we're going to do a quick bhajan, and then we will continue. So my student, J.D., will accompany us on the guitar as he has learned this nicely. Okay, J.D.? Let it go. Nice and loud. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivarad Hari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody, nice and loud. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hari bo, Hari bo. Very good. We have a good band. Very good. Give yourselves a hand. Very good. Where'd she go? Oh, okay. All right. Are you ready to proceed? Jai. Okay. 1 second. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yes, good, you made it back in time. Very good. All right, let's look at this verse. Please repeat. Apareyam itastvanyam prakritiṃ vidime puram jiva bhutang mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. So we're doing the next verse, number 5. Please repeat. Apara, inferior. Iyam, this. Itaha, besides this. To, but. Anyam, another. Prakritim, energy. Vidhi, just try to understand. Me, my, param, superior, jiva bhutam, comprising the living entities, mahabaho, almighty armed one, yaya, by whom, idam, this, daryate, is utilized or exploited. Jagat, the material world. Translation, please repeat. Besides these, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mine, which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. So, several things to be aware of. So, let's go back to the word for word meanings. Apara, inferior. Okay. So, that's referring to the previous verse. How many were there? How many? No. What did the previous verse say? How many? 8. There were 8. We all counted them. So, that material energy, 8, right? Krishna says, is inferior. So that should be a clue. Oh, inferior. Then he says, there's another energy, because the word prakritim, energy, and this word vidhi, just try to understand, means you may not get it the first time around. Try. Okay? But he uses the word param, superior. So besides these eightfold material energies, which he says are inferior, they're his energies. Okay? Just like, I'll give you an example. JD, how many guitars you have? 2. Is one inferior, is one superior, or are they both the same?
No, one is superior.
Which one's superior? All right. So, yes. Yeah, so you consider this one superior, right? So Krishna says, I have many energies, and the one that I just mentioned, the eightfold material energies, I say it's inferior. He says, I have a superior energy. What is it? Jiva Bhutam. You. You're the living entity. Yes. Yes. Because you, the soul, are superior. You notice in chapter 3, because I know you've read Bhagavad Gita, there is the discussion of lust, kama esha, krodha esha. And at the end of that, Krishna gives higher than the sense objects, right? The senses are superior to the sense objects. Mind is superior to the senses. Intelligence is higher than the mind. But then he said, and soul is superior to mind and intelligence. That's in chapter 3. So, yes, that was what we studied in the previous verse. Mind, intelligence, and false ego are still the material inferior energy. The soul, Jiva Bhuta, the real you, the soul, you are the superior energy. But look at this word, Daryate. You all see that word, Daryate? That's a very important word. And I'm so glad Prabhupada gave two definitions, utilized or exploited. I love to talk about this topic. All right? So there's a difference between utilizing something and exploiting. Ravan, since I'm getting into Ram consciousness, Ravan tried to exploit Sita. What happened to him? Finished. When we try to exploit something, ultimately we are going to meet a not very good ending. We should never try to exploit. Man should never exploit woman. Right, ladies? You don't want to be exploited. And women shouldn't exploit men either. Yes. Yes. Exploiting, yes, I'm getting to that, thank you. So exploit means I want to enjoy it for myself to the exclusion of everybody. It's mine. I want to. Then we see that companies try to exploit the employees, right? We're going to make you work more hours for less pay. Isn't that what's happening now? Because they're all demons. The demoniac mentality is, you exist for my sense gratification. I want you to work like an ass. I'll give you a few crumbs, and I will exploit as much as I can from you. Whereas utilization is a different thing. I'm utilizing a microphone, am I not? But by this microphone, not only are you hearing me, but on the internet, I've just been told that there are over 50 people listening and watching this class. I'm utilizing, there are cameras in this temple room. Hello, camera. We see you. This camera is being utilized, right? So when something is utilized, something has its proper usage, and you're using it for that purpose. So everything is whose energy? Whose energy is everything? Ah. So the manufacturer, what's his name? Or God. He knows exactly how he intends his property to be used. Yes or no? Is God stupid that he creates something but doesn't know what it's meant? No. When God creates something, he knows exactly what its intention is. When you buy an instrument or a computer, the manufacturer gives you a booklet and says, Here's how you use it. Now, if you don't use it, don't blame me if the thing breaks. Right? The manufacturer knows, because he created it, how the thing is supposed to be used, whether it's a computer, a microphone, tape recorder, a car. The manufacturer, at least he should know, how it's supposed to be used. God, being the best manufacturer, has created this material world, and he wants it to be utilized in a particular way. And what is the instruction manual? Bhagavad Gita. You're studying the handbook, how this material world should be used. Now, if you say, I don't care about Bhagavad Gita, I'm going to do it in my own way, then don't blame God when you come to a very unhappy ending. That's called karma. Right? If we follow the manual given by the manufacturer, then we should be very, very happy. Yes? Yes. Yes. Yes, there's enough here that you'll know the camera should be used to spread the message of Bhagavad Gita. Everything should be used so that you become self-realized, that you get out of this material entanglement. The Bhagavad Gita, what is the Bhagavad Gita trying to do? The Bhagavad Gita is trying to do what Martin Luther King couldn't do. Martin Luther King was saying, free at last. He wasn't really free. Boom. He had the right idea. Bhagavad Gita is teaching how to become eternally free. That's what Bhagavad Gita is trying to do. How each and every one of us can become completely liberated permanently. Who would like to be permanently liberated and enter the kingdom of God? This is the handbook, the manual. It's right here, Bhagavad Gita. It's teaching you how to proceed step by step. So we utilize this material world the way it is designed. Take a look at our bodies. Krishna has given everything you need. The body needs to eat, right? So Krishna says, if you want to eat nicely, I have designed a system. It's called Yajna Shista. You eat food which is first offered for sacrifice. Otherwise, if you don't, Krishna says in this Bhagavad Gita, you will eat lumps of sin. That's why we get bad diseases. I was explaining this to someone today. Some people give the argument, in my religion, they allow me to eat meat. So my counter argument is, that's all right. Your religion allows you to eat meat, but when you get cancer, when you get a serious heart condition, where is your religion now? It didn't save you, did it? Because the meat is not for human consumption. How many canine teeth does a human being have? Those animals that eat meat, how many canine teeth they have? a lot more. We only have two, and that's for those subhumans who insist. We have how many teeth? I don't know what the number is. Huh? 32? They are meant for fruits, vegetables, grains, milk products. By design, we are not meant to be carnivores. A carnivore, they have a very short intestine system. Ours is very long, several times the size of our body. A carnivore eats the meat, it passes through very quickly. When we eat meat, it stays in and rots. And not only that, what are they feeding these animals now that people are so crazy on eating? What are they feeding them? I can't even say the word. So, no, they're giving them a word that starts with S and ends in T. Literally, huh? Cows. Many times they give dead cows. Anyway, yes. So, what are people eating? Okay, anyone who's been to India, what do hogs eat? Right? So, people are eating so many pigs. So when you eat a pig, think about that famous, you are what you eat. So if you think about what a pig eats, and if somebody eats a pig, it's actually crazy. It's actually insane. So Krishna is saying, your body will exist very nicely if you eat food which is first offered for sacrifice. That's why we have this restaurant. Everybody in Los Angeles should be eating here in our restaurant, unless you know how to cook prasad at home. But all these people, all these other restaurants should go out of business. Actually, we should have one of these on every block. How many Starbucks chains there are? How many other places? We need 1,000 at least restaurants, Govindas. I don't know their restaurant. Do they offer to Krishna? Huh? Yes, something's better than nothing. Okay, so we're just discussing this point, utilized and exploited. Devotees or followers of God understand that this is God's planet, this is God's energy, it should be used for His purpose. Not that we deny it. No. Everything has a purpose. And it's the follower of God who knows what is the proper utilization of everything. Say you have a great ability or talent, just like these paintings. These paintings were done by persons, devotees, who wanted to paint. They had that proclivity. So Prabhupada said, yes, you please paint nice pictures which will explain this philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Here I'm teaching JD how to play guitar. But I'm going to teach him songs that are based on Bhagavad Gita, not about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. All right. I do this class every Wednesday. You're invited to come. Thank you very much. We will continue next week. If you have any further inquiries, you can take one of my cards and you can send me an email. You can visit my website. And there's lots of goodies there. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.